and an eye on all your news, sport, traffic and entertainment too. Plus a chance to win all that cash if you can tell me what Lucy Kennedy said to Colm Hayes. Monday to Friday from 2.
With Tesco Club Card. Feel the power to more.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Christmas is coming.
Oh no.
Oh yes. The Christmas Shopping Expo. Ireland's new indoor Christmas shopping fair at the National Indoor Arena Blanchardstown on 7th and 8th of December. Forget the stresses of Christmas shopping and get all your festive gifts and stocking fillers all under one roof. Make Christmas extra special this year at the Christmas Shopping Expo on 7th and 8th of December. For tickets or information on exhibiting at Ireland's new Christmas Gifts Fair, visit christmasshopping.ie. Want to support breast cancer research and have a chance of winning a BMW X2 for just €20? Then enter our raffle in aid of the National Breast Cancer Research Institute. The draw takes place at Race in Pink, part of the Galway Races Winter Festival, on Sunday the 27th of October. Get your tickets now at winabmw.ie.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Got an opinion?
Hello.
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, I'm Megan Scully, and this is Crack August Kjol on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Emile Nigaid Nocha Kuig, Hui on Tauron, You Are Not Alone, La Michael Jackson, Snakeid Spotta Snakeartacha, August Via Ban Kiela Eganam Shin, Lisa Marie Presley, in some Fishon. Erin Carroll and Mian 4, Mila Nigaid Ochtu Ahain, Rugga Beyonce Knowles in Houston, Texas. Aaron Cugulaw, Imyan 4, Mila Nigaid, Kara Shea, Ruga Farrokh Bulsara, is Zanzibar. August Vishay and Taurani, Alesh and Grupa Colliel Queen. Ach, Freddie Mercury, on Tana Mavir. That's Crack August Kjol on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Across Ireland.
Across Ireland.
On FM.
Digital.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
The news with Alan Cantwell. More than 500 complaints regarding abuse at schools have been made to Gardaí in the past few weeks. It follows a scoping inquiry into abuse at religious order-run schools, with almost 2,400 allegations against 884 alleged abusers at 308 schools. Gardaí issued an appeal for information following its publication and reiterated the appeal again. Gardaí Commissioner Drew Harris gave some limited details regarding the complaints officers have received at the policing authority earlier.
There is a proportion of these cases where we do have prior knowledge of those against which the allegations have been made. They've previously been suspects or indeed individuals who've been convicted of offences, and a proportion of them are now deceased.
A Hezbollah commander has been killed in an airstrike in Lebanon. Israel says the head of one of Hezbollah's Air Force units died in a strike on Beirut's southern suburbs. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu says he has instructed Israel's military to keep fighting at full force and has not yet responded to a proposed ceasefire deal. They have arrested a teenage boy as part of an investigation into the death of a man in his 40s in a crash in Dublin. The pedestrian was hit by a stolen car on the coast road in Baldoyle in the early hours of Wednesday the 17th of July. The boy, in his late teens, is the second person to be arrested and has since been released without charge. A file will be prepared for the Garda Youth Division office. Calls have been made for stronger enforcement in the wake of a report into the online sex trade in Ireland. Researchers from the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute found there was a large volume of young migrant women on the site. The locations with the most profiles typically advertised were Dublin, Cork and Belfast. Mary Crilly of the Sexual Violence Centre Cork says tough law enforcement is needed to disrupt those who use and those who profit from these websites.
If you look at all the men who do go into these women, they can find them easy enough. I know the guards are very keen to kind of find them and prosecute, but we need more resources into them doing it and making it available to them, and for society and people to back them up and not kind of say, look, we've more things to worry about in this country than that.
And that's your news for now.
Ireland's weather.
With McCarthy Insurance Group.
For better value, home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance in 2024.
MIG.ie.
Rain will gradually clear southwards tonight. That'll be followed by some clear spells and scattered showers. Fresh gusty winds and temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. You're up to date to the home of the amazing 80s each weekday at noon with Trina Mara on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan on the home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
What a tangled web he weaves, is that what they say? Okay, just to remind people again what we're talking about. There's an email from a woman, by the way. She seems like a really nice woman. She's a stay-at-home wife with two young children. Husband comes home, works typical 9-to-5 job, says, hey, great, they're organising the Christmas party. We're going to be going away to a hotel on a Friday night, coming back on a Saturday. Big night, woohoo, can't wait, they're organising it already, they're looking for numbers. And she goes, yay, that sounds great. Let me know what date it is so I can tell my mother and I get the time off. And he goes, what? You're not going. There's no partners allowed. And he kind of walked off. And now she said to him, well, if there's no partners allowed, how dare you? You're not going. You're not going without me. And he's going, well, I am. So they haven't spoken now in 2 days. So who's in the wrong and who's in the right here? Now, she has been invited to Christmas parties in the past with him. Here's the thing. So there's a bit of a precedent set with him here. And she knows what goes on at these parties, she said. I want to know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Good evening, now.
Good, Martin. Now, obviously, the email is a lot longer than that was just an edited version I gave you there, but we all heard the email earlier on. Who's wrong here? Is she being unreasonable?
No, I don't think she's being unreasonable. I think, regardless of whether she knows what goes on at previous Christmas parties, I can only say for me, that's not really the issue. The issue for me, I don't attend Christmas parties. I've no interest in them. I attended one many years ago, and I sent in a text, and this one muppet of a salesman was getting thick with me over the fact that I was driving that night, so I don't really like soft drinks. I'm not much into sugary drinks. I ordered a pint of milk with my dinner. Right. And this guy took extreme offense at it. You know, real men don't drink milk. And he was actually getting thick with me. Now, thankfully, you know, other colleagues calmed him down and what have you. But anyway, the real issue for me here is I presume the employer is making out that we're throwing a Christmas party, and we're making it special. We're bringing you away this year to a hotel,
yeah,
because we appreciate the hard work that you and others have done as employees. You know, working late,
yeah,
you know, overtime, handling things that come in as an emergency. I don't know. I can only look at it from my point of view, what I do in my job. Now, I will say my employer at the moment, that Christmas party was with a previous employer many, many years ago. But my employer at the moment, last Christmas, my direct manager came down from Northern Ireland, came in. We were all brought off to, what do you call that place on the nice road?
Joel's.
Joel's, right?
Yeah.
It was during work hours. We had a lovely meal. We had some conversation, some jokes, some laughs. We were all given envelopes with a thank you, and you know what I mean by the thank you. From what?
Jeez, it's been years since people get envelopes with thank yous in them, but however.
Yeah. Well, that's the employer I have at the moment.
Oh, that's good.
You know,
it's nice to hear.
Absolutely fantastic employer.
Yeah.
And we all had a very good time. As I said, it was on company time. We were all told, doesn't matter what jobs are on, doesn't matter who's screaming for anything. Let's get together, let's socialize. But anyway, my real point here is, the employer is presumably or supposedly doing this to thank the employees. Now, whether the employees be male or female, I would say there's probably a good proportion of them have a partner at home who also has, not directly but indirectly, probably given support to the company insofar as, you know, someone's required to work a Saturday where they would normally they take their kiddies to, you know, to GAA practice or whatever else. So there's a degree of kind of...
Of course, people have to support each other in their jobs. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So the employer then turns around and says, well, it's only for direct employees. I think that that employer, I mean, I think the man is a fool, the man in question, because I would turn around if my employer said to me, we're having a party, as I said, I wouldn't be interested in going to the party, yeah. But if I was, I would say, well, am I allowed to bring my wife or my partner? And if they said no, I'd say, I'm like yourself, I'd say, thank you very much. Has nothing to do with whether they trust me or don't trust me.
And if they, if I did want to go and they said, well, listen, the reason we're not inviting partners is because of the cost factor involved, I said, it's grand, I'll pay for myself.
Yeah, or what, I mean, that's fair enough. I would do that also. But yeah. I'd also say to my employer, well, hang on, why don't you just have a one night do? Forget about just staying over, because that means I have to travel. I have to just book somewhere closer to where we walk and have a really good do, where we can all bring our partners and our wives, husbands, whatever.
Okay, so getting back to the email, so you don't believe she's being unreasonable? You think he's being disrespectful?
No, I don't think she's being unreasonable when it comes down to it. My real issue here is I would actually be offended if my employer said to me, we're having a Christmas party. It's away. Now, as I said, I wouldn't be attending anyway. But if I had intended to go and they said, well, it's only for direct employees, and because it's away this year and we're booking hotel rooms for everyone, there's no, you know, no partners, no wives, no husbands, I'd say, thanks very much. Not interested.
Okay, well, do me a favor. Stay there for a second, Martin. Let me go to Steve. Steve, hi, how are you?
I'll try and be as concise as I can.
I was going to say nothing better than a Martin and Steve show, but go on.
I'll try and be as concise as I can, Niall. So, can it be argued that she might be a little bit insecure?
I know, maybe, yeah. Because she did say that she had noticed stuff in the past. Yeah, maybe there's something in the relationship gone wrong already.
So now let me ask you this much again. So, can it be argued that she might be a little bit controlling?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Well, she doesn't want him to go if she's not going. So a little bit, there's a little bit of control there as well. So I'll get to my concise part. She's being an insecure, controlling bitch.
Oh.
Niall.
Yeah.
Can I counter that?
Please. You can counter that.
The position I come from and the point I take is, it's for me, it's regardless of whether she feels insecure or anything else, I think he's being inconsiderate towards his wife.
But is she being controlling, Martin? That's the question.
Steve, I let you make your point. Just hear me out for a moment.
I had barely said, Martin.
So you think
you know, so you think he's being inconsiderate. Is she not also being inconsiderate asking him not to go because she's not invited?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Of course, Martin, because be honest, you know. You know that's no, what the, no, the no, answer is she Steve, is being inconsiderate.
Steve, do not presume to speak for me and how I feel. Please don't do that.
Okay, what I'm saying, sure, no problem.
What I'm saying is that me personally, mm-hmm. as I said, if I was to receive an invitation like that, my first concern is, and my first thought is, my employer wants me to have a good night out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, when I was married, a good night out was a night out with my wife, the person that I wanted to spend my time with. If I was with another woman, if I was in another relationship, I would feel exactly the same. And if my employer turns around and puts restrictions on me, if all the rest of the people in the company want to attend by themselves and do whatever the hell they want, let them. But okay. For me,
Martin,
I would be saying,
but that's you. Martin, that's you. Okay, so we take it. Yes. This is what. Okay, fantastic. This is what Martin would do. But we're not talking about you, Martin. We're talking about this woman who is obviously insecure. She's obviously trying to control her husband. And she's obviously being a bit of a bitch when she turns around and she says, you can't go if I'm not going. I mean, kind of the definition of being a bit of a bitch.
Maybe controlling. But Martin, Martin, to be fair, right, and you are right, maybe it is inconsiderate of him to not want to bring her, or should I say, maybe it's inconsiderate of the company not to allow partners to go, and that may be out of his control. But what is in his control is his wife. So maybe she's being controlling by saying, well, look, if you're choosing to go without me, which some lads would, you know, well, then you're not going. That also could be deemed controlling, Martin.
And inconsiderate.
Of course it could. But again, I come back to where my starting point would be, I wouldn't even be in a situation like that because I would simply say to my employer, I'm not interested. Not because I'd be worried about...
Yeah, Steve is right. That's Martin, and that's me. By the way, me, exactly. you and me are quite similar.
Yeah, and that. But the whole premise of this conversation is, what do you think? And I think that the husband, on this occasion, the wife has attended all previous Christmas parties, as have I'm sure other partners to the husband's co-workers. So the company turned around and change the rules. Now, I would simply say, no, I'm not interested. If you're changing the rules, go ahead.
Okay, Martin, let me run this past you. Let me run
Steve,
this past
Steve, you. Can I just ask you, Steve? She clearly has trust issues.
Yes.
I mean, when she's saying that at previous parties, you know, there was people hooking up together and all this kind of thing, and, you know, she doesn't want him going because of that in case something happens. So she clearly doesn't trust her husband, which is not a good starting point either, is it?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, look, I'll add that she's the one that's being inconsiderate here. Obviously, that's what's happening. She's the one who rode in saying, oh, I don't want him going because I'm not invited. So just because you don't get what you want, he's not to get what he wants. That's inconsiderate, is it not?
Is that directed to me, Steve?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yes, look, on the face of it, prima facie, yes, the woman has trust issues. But we all have trust issues. I mean, let's be absolutely honest. We all have trust issues. Everyone has a trust issue.
Hang on.
I'm not saying that you don't trust your wife, your partner, your husband, or whatever. What I'm saying is we have trust issues in all kinds of things in life. All kinds of things can happen. If anyone was to ask me, you know, over 10 years ago, would I have any notion that my wife would now be with another man? I would have said absolutely not. No, it could never happen.
Yeah, things but Martin, here's the thing. I'll give you a piece of your own advice. Don't presume to do my thinking for me. I don't have trust issues.
But you're the very one who said to me, Steve, on the air, going back months ago, any man given the opportunity, you know, would take it. In other words, good-looking girl comes up, you know, your wife will never find out. Good-looking girl comes up and says, me and you.
You're absolutely right. Well,
I think you have trust issues then, because I wouldn't do that, but you believe every man would.
No, that's not me not trusting somebody. That's not my trust issues. I'm not with somebody to not trust them. I don't have trust issues. If I had a partner and they wanted to go...
But you do.
...milling them back, I don't care.
But you do have trust issues because you don't trust men.
Noel, it's not that I don't trust men. I know men. I know what they do.
Well, you don't know all men.
Absolutely, and I'm not speaking for all men, and I wasn't back then, and I'm not doing that either now. What I am saying in this situation, Niall, is this woman is clearly being an inconsiderate, selfish bitch. I'm sorry, but that's what she's doing. She found it okay to write into a radio station and give out about her husband, who's going to a Christmas party. If he was going to have an affair, let him go off and have the affair he's not worth being with.
Well, stay there for a second. Let me just get a female perspective on this. Stay there, Stephen Martin. Valerie, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, lads?
Good. Now, who's being unreasonable here, Valerie? Her or him?
Well, I suppose what I'm kind of getting from this is, like, what about the children? You know, there's these two adults here.
Well, somebody think of the children.
Focus, it's got to do with kids.
It's like, you know when somebody throws in that line, Valerie, well, somebody think of the children. Okay,
but it's true, though.
The children are only babies. My youngest is one, my eldest is three. They haven't a clue what's going on.
Yeah, okay, so well, I suppose pre-children, then they probably did go to parties together. So now that the children are here and the girl sounds like that she's a stay-at-home mum, right?
She is a stay-at-home mum, yeah.
And that's loads of pressure in itself, and then the boy, he's working full time.
Yep.
Bringing home all the money.
Yep.
it just sounds like that their lives have changed drastically and they don't really know how to handle it, and it comes out over a fucking Christmas party, lads.
Yeah, I know. It's only a Christmas party.
Christmas parties are a disaster. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Valerie, can I ask you a question if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Go on, Steve.
I'm a little bit confused about the kids thing. What about the children? Like, I'm still stuck on that. In my brain, I'm going, what?
No, I get what she means. That she's a stay at home. Okay. She's a stay at home mum. She's working all year round. She said in the email, I'm working all year round looking after the kids, his children as well. And she felt when he said, you know, he was all excited and said, listen, oh, the Christmas party this year, they're booking a night in a hotel, we're going away. And she went, oh, that's great. Tell me the date and I get my mum to mind the kids. And he went, oh, no, you're not going. No partners allowed. So from that point of view, she believed she deserved the break or the party as well as much as he did.
Forget about the children.
So
we'll just draw a discreet veil over that, will we?
Yeah, that was just Valerie's impulse when she came on.
I thought we were going to talk about
the bike shed, but anyway.
Go on. We didn't get to the bike shed yet. Somebody think of the children. Go on. So, but Valerie, is Steve right? Is she being controlling by saying you can't go unless you bring me?
Oh, I absolutely think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, because, you know, like, I'm married. We've been together for 22 years now, nearly.
Yeah, okay.
And we have 3 grown children now, but I still care about the children, Steve. Come on, like.
Yeah, but if your husband came home and said, I was invited to a Christmas party in work, you know.
Yeah,
but
I would say, yeah, carry on, because I have no interest in what, like, he's a construction worker. I don't want to be sitting at a bar talking about fucking concrete all night. You know, and he doesn't want to come to my Christmas party talking about what I do.
Yeah.
You know? So, lads.
Jeez, that was some booking of concrete the other day, lads, wasn't it?
Oh, jeez, and I was waiting and the eve was a different fucking shape and I said to him and I'm going, oh, yeah, that's lovely, I'm going home. But do you know what I mean? And it sounds more like they're in trouble in their marriage than anything, like.
But Martin is right too. I think both Steve and Martin are right here on this occasion. Because
yeah,
I think Martin is.
Actually.
Yeah, Martin's right. He is being inconsiderate, knowing that she'd love to go. Do you know what I mean?
Niall, hold on a bleeding second. We all get to do things away from our partners. For Jesus' sake, put the shoe on the other foot here. Let's say that this was a man texting in because she was going off. We'd all be going, oh my God, of course she can be trusted. Let her have her break, blah, blah, blah. We'd all be defending the woman. But because it's a man, he's the inconsiderate jerk. No. Leave the man alone. Let him go on his Christmas party. If he diddles somebody while he's away, he does that, you know. And you know, if he does, then he's not worth having.
Yeah, absolutely. That's his problem, not hers, you know.
But you know as well as we do what goes on at Christmas parties, Valerie.
Yeah, I do. I've been to so many, Niall, and none of them are pretty.
No, people did leave you.
Oh, in their arse.
None.
Niall?
Yes. Yeah,
none of
Martin.
Them. Something always goes wrong.
Go on. I'm sorry, it reminds me of a Christmas party. The last one I was at was actually many, many, many years ago, Club M. I worked in Club M in a nightclub in town.
The
Christmas party was in Mullingar for some reason. I've no idea why. Yeah. Anyway, in the middle of the night, there was 4 doormen who thought they all knew Kung Fu fighting with each other in the hallways upstairs. Yeah. And they were doing the whole, you know, like the Karate Kid stance. Jesus, talk about egos playing out in the middle of the party and they were killing each other.
But that's the thing about going out for drinks or parties with workmates. It's all about work, you know. Not many of us know each other very well, you know.
Yeah. Sorry, Martin, you wanted to say something there. Go ahead.
Sorry, Martin.
Yeah, Steve said that if the situation were to be reversed, we'd all be on the other side. I wouldn't. I'm at least consistent in that regard.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? What I'm talking about is, if it was a situation where the wife was being told there's a Christmas party on and it's away somewhere in the country and the husband is not welcome or partners are not welcome, I would be I'd feel exactly the same if the wife came home and said, oh, woohoo, pardon?
So why did you say it would be different then?
No, he said it wouldn't be.
I didn't.
No, he didn't. He said it wouldn't be different.
No, I said it wouldn't be different.
Yeah.
Steve said we would all...
Steve was the one who said it would be a different attitude.
I'm mixing you up. You sound very similar. I beg your pardon.
Oh, don't say that to Mark.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, Steve said if the roles were reversed, the gender roles are reversed, we'd all be feeling sorry for the girl, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We wouldn't be calling...
Or the man, rather, right?
Yeah, we'd be saying the man was controlling by not letting her go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so, but we're saying the same thing, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I point out a funny statistic there?
Yeah.
In 2008, there was 960 photocopier injuries at Christmas parties in America.
Yeah. Well, it's either men sitting putting their bottoms on them or women putting their boobs on them, one or the other, isn't
it?
In America, first of all.
Yeah, look, let's be clear. Let's golden rule. You don't sit on the glass of a photocopier.
Obviously,
and you don't
not.
Have a Christmas party in the office either.
Yeah, Martin. Yeah, go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, I think I heard that. I heard something, a similar statistic about, I think about 10 years ago. But they also, it was done where there was actually a CCTV camera in the photocopier room. And during the party, numerous people went in to photograph or photocopied our derriere. They sat up on the photocopier and took a copy. But it turns out it was only the women who cleaned the glass on the photocopier after they did it. All the men just went in and did it and went.
Because that's what women do.
Well, so they clean the toilet seat too, do they? Men don't.
No, yeah, it's our job. We clean.
Yeah, I suppose you do. Listen, lads and ladies, I have to wrap it up. Steve, Valerie, Martin, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate it. After the break, by the way, as usual, we will talk to our guest this evening.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan. Got an opinion?
Hello?
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Ireland's Classic Hits Radio is a non-stop journey through your favourite ever classic hits.
And now, you can revisit even more musical memories as we invite you back to the future.
Where we're going, we don't need headphones.
Jump on board each day as we aim our DeLorean at a different classic year. But where will the memories take you?
Back to the Future. Play along with Ruth Scott, Sunday evenings from 6. And with Trina and Damien right through the week.
The kids are going to love it.
Only on the home of the 80s and 90s. Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Stand Back. The Stevie Nicks Experience. Coming to Lost Lane, Adam Court. Just off Grafton Street, October 12th. As Europe's only tribute to Stevie Nicks, Vicky Martin invites you on an enchanting journey through Stevie's biggest hits, from Fleetwood Mac to the present day. A hauntingly authentic live show not to be missed. Stand Back. The Stevie Nicks Experience. October 12th at Lost Lane, Dublin. Tickets €28 plus booking fee from Eventbrite.
Study with Progressive College, the leading provider of QQI accredited courses. Enroll now for upcoming QQI accredited courses that will make you workplace ready, including healthcare support, early learning and care, special needs assistant training, and a new special education qualification at level 7. Also enrolling now for our blended online honours degree in early childhood education and care, starting this September. Discover the future of education. Visit progressivecollege.ie.
Are you looking for a new job in 2024? Recruit.ie is Ireland's new online jobs board, dedicated to getting you the job you want and the pay you deserve. Search thousands of jobs in companies nationwide. Upload your CV and find your dream job today, all free of charge. Find a job you love at recruit.ie.
This is the home of Colm and Lucy in the morning.
Weekdays from 6 a.m.
And the home of the 80s and 90s. All day.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, it's Niall Boylan. Weeknights from 9, I open the phone lines for your opinions. Honest, upfront, and unfiltered.
The stupidity of our so-called politicians. They don't have a clue how to run money.
And you broke the law.
But I never said that I didn't break the law. Niall, all know what I'm talking about.
The Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Monday to Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight. With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Welcome back, and tonight I'm delighted to have a world-renowned expert on something that's close to many people's hearts, dementia. Bart de Stuper is a professor in Alzheimer research at University College London and University Leuven in Belgium. And he works in the UK Dementia Research Institute, which he founded in 2017. It is one of the top institutes for research into dementia in the world. His research focuses on finding treatments for Alzheimer's disease. And this year he was quoted as saying, if we don't get a treatment for Alzheimer's, it will be a global disaster. Very scary stuff, isn't it? Welcome to the show, Bart. It's nice to have you.
Good evening. Yes, nice to be there.
Okay, first things first, people get very confused. What is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? Or is there really a difference?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So dementia is a symptom. That's, in fact, important to keep in mind. So it basically tells that the brain is not functioning well. And this is what people see, of course. But there is an underlying cause of that, and that's disease. And there are many diseases which can cause dementia. Alzheimer's disease is one example. And so that's important, because if you want to make a treatment, you need to have a treatment for the disease, and you will then see an effect on the symptoms. You cannot make a cure for dementia.
Okay.
You can make a cure for Alzheimer's.
So what's happening from a neurological point of view? What's actually happening inside the brain when somebody gets Alzheimer's disease? Is it just brain cells dying away, similar to the way cancer would attack the organs, for example? Is it just brain cells being attacked and dying away, which obviously affects our memory, which is dementia? I mean, what actually happens inside the brain?
Yeah, it's actually a very slow process. So it starts actually 20 years, 30 years before you have dementia. And so what happens is that there are biochemical changes in your brain first, what we call accumulation of amyloid plaques. And then you get a kind of neuroinflammation in the brain. The cells in the brain respond to that dirt, as you want. Mm. And then this neuroinflammation gradually affects your neurons. And the neurons start to accumulate proteins, which we call neuronal tangles. And they fill up, and then gradually they become dysfunctional, and then they start to die. And at that moment, when you have lost quite a number of neurons, you start to get dementia and what people call Alzheimer's disease, but which is actually the end stage of the disease.
And does that happen naturally, leaving aside Alzheimer's, dementia in itself, or that kind of memory loss that people get as they get older? Is that a natural process of aging as well? In other words, we naturally start to lose our memories as we get older as well. So is that the same process, but just accelerated when you have Alzheimer's?
No, that's really a misconception. So it's not. I give always the example of my colleague in Holland, Henna Holsteger, who is studying a cohort of healthy centenarians, cognitive healthy centenarians. So people who are more than 100 years and which are still interactive, mm-hmm. have a reasonable memory, etc. So you have to make a difference between the discomfort of aging, I would say, and really this disease which affects your brain. It's mm-hmm. different.
And why are we seeing such an increase? Is it like many other things that it's not really an increase, it's just that we're better at detecting it now at an earlier age? Are we better at diagnosing it? Or is there genuinely more people getting it?
Yeah, well, it's the main reason why there is more dementia and Alzheimer's is because people become older. So the life expectancy has increased dramatically. And so you can get dementia and Alzheimer's at relatively young age. Yeah? So young dementia is really an important problem. But the bulk of patients are older than 70, 75, and it increases exponentially with older age, so above 85. Mm-hmm. You get a chance in one in three of these people will get some form of dementia.
So one in three people will get dementia. And does it primarily affect...
In the older age group,
yes.
Yeah.
So does it primarily affect men more than women or women more than men?
There is more Alzheimer's in women than in men. The reason is unclear. It could be genetically, it could be hormones. Mm-hmm. It could also be a kind of bias that because there are also more women becoming older than men, And so there could be a bias there. So it's not entirely clear. But there is more women than men.
And how are we tackling it? I mean, you know, obviously the cure is what we're looking for, isn't it, really? And how far have we come in the last 20 or 30 years? Has it got better, you know, with the medication for it? Are we close to getting to a point where we might actually be able to cure it?
Yes, it's really exciting. It's only the last 2-3 years that we really start to talk about a cure for Alzheimer's disease. So I need to manage expectations here because it's only the beginning. But we have at the moment two drugs, which are antibodies, and they are approved in America and in China and in Japan, unfortunately not yet in Europe. But they have a positive effect on the disease, and they basically work by cleaning up the amyloid plaques, which I mentioned a few minutes ago. This dust in your brain, they clean that up. The problem is that they have side effects. We can talk about that more if you want. And that they mainly slow the disease. They do not really fully cure it. But again, there, these treatments are given to patients in the late stage of the disease when they have already symptoms. So I think if you could push this medications earlier, we will see probably more benefits. So what you're saying is
it doesn't work retrospectively. In other words, if you're already 75 and you're already at the latter stages of Alzheimer's, it's not going to reverse the problem.
Well, it's very simple. In fact, if you have lost too many neurons, there is no miracle cure which will give you neurons back. Mm-hmm. So that's basically, in essence, the problem. And the other problem is that these amyloid plaques are triggering the disease. So they start this neuroinflammation. But if this inflammation is too far, then taking away the amyloid plaques will not stop that process anymore. So that's basically the reason why they are not perfect drugs. But we are now learning at what time in the disease process we need to give these drugs. And that's also very exciting. We get now blood biomarkers. Mm-hmm. So you can do blood tests to see whether you are on the way for Alzheimer's or not. And so I think the combination of these two things are a real breakthrough for the field. We'll talk about this disease differently in a couple of years.
And when you say side effects to those particular drugs, are the side effects bad? I mean, is it a big sacrifice to have to make?
Well, it's an all or nothing. Eh? So, you don't have. To be exact. So, in about 1 in 100, you get a very severe bleeding in the brain with the side effects of brain bleeding, which is of course very severe.
It's fatal. Yeah.
And in many percent, 10-12% of the cases, you get milder. Edemas and evasions, basically, which can give you a headache, which can go over, which disappear in many cases, but which are of course troublesome because about 1% it can go into bleeding, which is of course something you want to avoid by all means. So we are in the situation like in many other severe diseases. In the beginning, we have a drug, but with side effects. And so it's a balance if you want to take that risk or not.
Well, I think if you're at the latter stages of Alzheimer's and, you know, I mean, you've a 90% chance that it's going to improve the situation. Well, I think you're probably going to take that chance, aren't you, really, at this moment? I imagine these drugs can only get better as we move on. Do you see a point?
Absolutely the case.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the case.
So do you see a point somewhere in the future, Bart, where we could eradicate Alzheimer's? Because we've been talking about, say, cancer is the other big disease in the world. We've been looking at cancer for 50 years and we still can't really get a handle on it. We, you know, we get better at treating it, but we can't get a handle on it. Yes. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where we can early diagnose Alzheimer's, give somebody something or do something and stop it from progressing? Are we ever going to get to that point?
Yeah. Well, yes, but not for everybody. So I think it's a bit like with cancer. You give this mixed picture. But we are able nowadays to cure people with cancer. So and then we have a lot of people where we can postpone the disease, you can stop it, and then there are refalls, but you gain 10, 15 years in many cases. So I think that we will go for Alzheimer's in a similar direction, because it's also similar to cancer. It's something which comes from inside your body, and so it's very different from an infection which comes from outside, and so that's an invader, and an invader you can kill. But if it's something from inside the body, it's much more difficult to treat. But there is also another important aspect here. So even if you can't cure it, if you can postpone it, if you can postpone the disease in 5 years, which seems to me a very feasible thing, people will, because it's a late age disease, if you can postpone it 5 years, you would stabilize the situation as it is at the moment. So that would mean where we expect a triplication of the number of patients in 2050, if you could postpone the disease to 5 years, we would stabilize it at a level what that is at the moment, which seems to me a very feasible goal. So it's a bit different from cancer because it's an old age disorder in general.
I read a piece. Go ahead.
Yes, please. Yeah, I want to be really positive about this because there will be people cured if we go on like this. So it's a mixed perspective I have, but I'm very positive that we will look to the disease with much less fatalism and with real hope, especially for the people who are younger, 60, 65, if we treat them, that we can stabilize them and that they can enjoy a good old day and can die from something else, of course.
Yeah. Would you recommend, by the way, genetic testing? Because we know, obviously, that, you know, part of this is genetic. So would you recommend genetic testing? Because a lot of people say, well, I'd rather not know, you know. So, but would you recommend genetic testing?
Nah, not really. So at the moment, genetic testing is useful for patients for the very, very rare forms of Alzheimer's disease, which are genetic, where you have in a family a 1 in 2 chance to get the disease. It's a wrong gene. And then in these families, you basically know that that gene is present. And so there you could do a genetic test and avoid to pass it to your children or so. But this is very rare. It's 300,000 people with Alzheimer's who have that form. And so usually you know that also, and the doctor will ask for that and will know, and then you will be sent to a genetic center for further counseling. In all the other forms, it's very complicated genetics with a mix of protective and disease increase and risk increasing genes, and so that's very complicated. So it doesn't help really at this moment to decide whether you will get Alzheimer or not. And so I think it will basically worry people to have that type of diagnosis.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
So I wouldn't do that. But what I think in the future, not so long, is that we will have a genetic profile of everybody and then calculate the risk for different disorders. But then we need to follow up on that with blood tests and cognitive tests to make a diagnosis. So just having bluntly genetics will never be sufficient to decide who has to get treatment or not.
Is there anything we can do in our lives? Like, for example, when we're told to avoid cancer, we're told to avoid red meat, so we're told to avoid eating certain foods that might be carcinogenic, or avoid the sun or whatever it is. But is there anything we can do in our lives, you know, to live a healthier life, to avoid getting Alzheimer's?
Yeah, there are quite some studies there. So first of all, it's only a fraction of your risk which you can modify. That's also with cancer, by the way. So, it's clear that living a healthy life is also protection for your brain. What I mean is keeping your weight in control, doing sport, moderate sport, avoiding taking care of your hearing, taking care of your social contacts, being social active, etc. So, but. It's not like if you do this, you will avoid absolutely the disease. And if you don't do that, you will not get it, or vice versa. So I want basically people not to be too anxious about everything. What I want them is to live a wise life. And so, I mean, sometimes people just ask me, should I fill in Sudokus or should I do complex intellectual activity? And then I think it's really fascinating. So
to exercise your brain, I suppose, and then give it enough rest as well.
Rest is important, but exercise your brain. That the best exercise for your brain is just interacting with other people. That's when you use your brain the most, because the brain is not only thinking and making calculations. It's also it controls everything: your breathing, your walking, your sitting, your interaction with people, how you talk. I mean, when you're talking, you're using your brain in an incredible way. You get airwaves which hit your ear, and then these signals are changed in electrical activity. The electrical activity goes in your brain, and you hear you hear noise, but you also hear words, and you hear
I watched a documentary one night, and it was about the computer versus the brain, and which is more powerful. And there was a guy throws a ball at another guy, and he puts his hand up and catches it. And they then slowed it down, and they talked about the calculations that had to take place for something as simple as you putting your hand up to catch a ball. Your eyes, for example, had to coordinate the ball, detect how fast the ball is traveling, move your hand at the right speed. And it's just incredible when you think there's no computer in the world could actually do that. It's just incredible.
No, that's what I want to say. So in your brain, there are 100 billion of neurons, so small cells which work like a computer. So if you think there are 10 billion people in the world, so there are 10 times more people in your brain than there are people in the world which are interacting. So you can think about the complexity of that network. And that's also why I'm saying that Alzheimer's dementia is a late stage, because you can lose quite a number of these neurons before you start to have real problems.
Okay, somebody also mentioned to me in relation to, when I asked you about things you could do to prevent it, or things you could do to slow down the process, or, the possibility of getting it. Somebody mentioned to me before about saunas. Do saunas, where did that come from, or is that just a myth?
Saunas? What? I don't get the word.
Oh, a sauna, a steam room. No, okay, it doesn't matter. Okay. It's like a Finnish sauna. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I had read it somewhere. Okay, there was another article I read you in the paper there going back some time ago, and maybe you could tell me if this is an urban myth, if it's true or not. But they had done research, and they said that they had noticed in the research that men that had been taking Viagra had a much lower chance of getting Alzheimer's. Now, was that a myth or was that true?
I think that it's... I hope that they were right. Let's say it like that. I mean, it's correlation, You need to be very careful with correlation. So there are hundreds of reasons probably why these people who take Viagra, they are probably also... Well, I told you about social interactions, etc.
Oh, right, okay. You also said, by the way, I want to prevent the disease because curing dementia is not possible. So I suppose the prevention, in the future, coming up with a way to stop this from starting in the first place is probably the best way we can ever approach it, isn't it?
That's it. It's like you take statins to lower your cholesterol to avoid heart infarct. And so we will need some drugs like that for dementia.
And in relation to the money that we spend or the research that we do currently at the moment, I mean, we seem to spend a lot of time on cancer. We seem to spend a lot of time on other diseases. Mm-hmm. Is there less time and research done on dementia because it's older people?
Yeah.
And somehow we seem to care less, which is really wrong.
Yes. Yeah, I think you summarized that perfectly. Just at least how I see it. So people ask me that sometimes, and I try to give a number on that. So there are equal numbers of patients with dementia and with cancer in the world. It's close to 70 million people in the world, for both diseases. And then I try to understand how much research is done. And research, one of the ways to measure that is looking to the number of scientific publications that are written every year and published. That shows the activity in the field. And so I looked it up for dementia and didn't look too bad. 300,000-350,000 publications a year. So that's really a lot of activity. But then I looked for cancer and there it's 5 million a year.
Wow.
So we are about 15 times less active on dementia than on cancer. Also the problem, the problem is of the same order of magnitude. And we need, I mean, this was for me really, really shocking. And so we need much more investment in neurodegeneration.
And do you think that's because...
Do you
think that's because primarily it affects people who are older, that we seem to...
I think so.
...care a little bit less about it, which is really sad that we would feel that way.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, the fact that we are not talking about this on the radio, I'm a bit older professor and I've seen that changing. So 15, 20 years ago, there was almost nobody interested in this problem. Nobody was talking about it. And that's really because people thought it's something, it's fate, it's happening because we are old and these people are also hidden away. But now there are so many people becoming older and there are also many people who are healthy older and they speak up. They don't like that their friends and their relatives are getting this disease. And so there is much more social pressure now to do something about it. So the taboo around this is falling away. And so that's really giving a boost to this field. But we need much more investment
in research if we
want to become serious.
Unfortunately, it's a really interesting conversation we could have for hours, but I want to ask you one last question. I was talking to somebody recently who was looking more at the spiritual aspect of this, and they were telling me that, you know, even as scientists, we don't understand how the brain works fully, how consciousness works. You know, we understand how neurons work and how we communicate and how we use our muscles and everything else and how the brain controls everything. But from a consciousness point of view, we find that very difficult to understand, even the best scientists in the world. And they said to me, when somebody has dementia or Alzheimer's and they're looking at, say, their daughter or their son, and they don't know who they are anymore, and then all of a sudden a song or something, they remember the words of a song from 50 years ago or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they said, there's this theory that maybe inside the mind somewhere, they still remember everything. But because these neurons are so badly damaged and the brain is so badly damaged that they have an inability to express that anymore. Is that something that you've ever looked into from a scientific point of view? I know that's not your field as such, but from a scientific point of view, is that possible?
No, I mean, it's not, it's an illusion, I must say. So the problem is that there are really neurons dying. So you lose packages of this. It's like a computer. If you open it and you pull out some cables or you destroy some of the connections, there will be still some things which work, but there will be some parts completely gone, and that's what happens in Alzheimer's too. So there are still some circuitries there which keep some memories, and they are probably stronger than the other memories. So it starts with making new memories. That's a big problem for Alzheimer's. For most of the Alzheimer's patients. But I think we look too much to it from philosophical and contemplative ways. And that's interesting. It can motivate also people to try to find these traces in their family or friends affected by disease. But we need to look at it in a much more objective way. So neurons which are dead, you cannot not bring them back yet. Maybe we can do transplantation in the future, but that's not possible at the moment. So, I mean, it's not going like that.
Okay. I get what you're saying. The new memories that we create when we're 75 or 80 and we have Alzheimer's, and we now have a limited amount of space, so to speak, on our hard drive, if that's what you could call it. Those new memories are overwriting all the old ones. Because we've a limited amount of space left to keep those memories in. And I see where you're going with that. And by the way, one final question.
Well,
that old cliche that we only use 10% of our brain, that's not true. Sure, it's not.
No.
I don't know who came up with that line. That line, the famous line that we only use 10% of our brain. We use more than that, don't we?
Yeah. Yes. I hope so, at least.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been intriguing listening to you. I hope continue your great work. I know you do some wonderful work, award-winning work. So I continue doing that great work and continue the good fight, because there are so many people listening tonight who will have, you know, mams and dads and friends and family who have had Alzheimer's. And it's dreadful to watch somebody going through that towards the end of their life. And hopefully in the future, we may, with the thanks to people like you, we may be able to prevent that from happening to people.
Thank you so much. Nice talking to you.
And don't forget, by the way, it's really, really important, of course, that, you know, we take into consideration there are many people around this country who have parents, friends, family with Alzheimer's. And hopefully someday we'll get to a point where it doesn't happen anymore. And as he said, you can't cure Alzheimer's, but maybe in the future we may be able to prevent it. Don't forget, by the way, we'll be back again on Monday. Hopefully we'll be talking about the second bike shed, which should be, I'm joking. Although I heard today that certain politicians approved a second bike shed. That's the truth, by the way. I'm not just making that up. And if it's not a bike shed, it's a security hut. If it's not a security hut, it'll be gates. I wonder how much it costs to replace the gates, by the way. They were knocked down by that truck going back a while ago. I can only imagine. It seems to be, if you're a private contractor or a supplier, you can basically charge the state whatever you want, because after all, it's taxpayers' money and who cares? Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed. Enda Murphy is on the way. He's got some beautiful love songs for you to listen to throughout the night. Thank you very much indeed to Molly and Anya and everybody involved. And I shall talk to you again on Monday. Have a lovely weekend, although I believe the weather's going to be shite. But have a lovely weekend anyway. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan. Got an opinion?
Hello.
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio is the home of the 80s and 90s all weekend long.
Trina Mara kickstarts your Saturday from 7 a.m. with tunes and chat on Something for the Weekend.
Before the 80s and 90s continue through the day with Gareth O'Callaghan from 10 a.m. and Brian Walsh from 2.
And the Saturday night party kicks off at 6 with Club Classics, the very best floor fillers non-stop till 1.
It's all here on the home of the 80s and 90s this weekend. Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
For anniversaries that sizzle, celebrations that shine, and birthdays that really pop, it's all happening at Hyde, just off Grafton Street, Dublin 2. And now, Dublin's hottest venue is heating up even more with the launch of Seek Nightclub, open every Saturday night until late, with dancers, DJs, live entertainment, and more. Hyde and Seek has you covered for an unforgettable night. Contact reservations at hydedublin.com to book your VIP experience now.
On Instagram, so are we at Classic Hits Radio. Follow us for up to the minute celeb news, presenter updates, and plenty of laughs along the way.
Join the fun with the home of the 80s and 90s on Instagram at Classic Hits Radio. You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan. Got an opinion?
Hello.
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hi, I'm Megan Scully, and this is Crack August Kuehl on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Amina Nige, Nocha Shock, Con Elton John, Candle in the Wind, Exuchard, Princess Diana.
And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind.
Imean 4, Ro Vila Sahin, Hui Britney Spears, Aaron Stotcha, Egna MTV VMAs, Len Nahar, August Khan Shi, I'm a Slave for You. Imean Anigate, Ochtu Ashacht, Four Muds and Tauron, Bad, O Michael Jackson. Imean 4, Mila Nigid Nocha Shea, Dunwari Tupac in Las Vegas, Teresh Clihet Dornliocht. Vion Tauron Changes, Squila Mach, Mila Nigid Nocha Hocht.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
That's Crack August Kuehl on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, another hour on the home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits.
walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Belly, Beer Belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call. Scatterlings and orphanages. He looks around.